We begin the current daf, Masechet Baba Basra, daf Kuf Tazayin. We begin on the fourth line for the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in the related discussion with the previous daf. And that is, the Gemara in the previous daf had said Alocha in the name of Rav Huna Marav, that whoever says that a daughter inherits with the son's daughter, then even if he's a Nasi in the Jewish people, we don't listen to him, because rather, as the Gemara illustrated in the previous daf, that is what the Tzadukim attempted to prove from their Kal Bochemer, which was, look, we understand that a son comes before a daughter. And we understand even if a son's son comes before a daughter. But a son's daughter, where anyway she's a female, where her whole strength is coming from a child of the one who passed away, should come before a daughter who she's also a female, and she's actually coming from the strength of the one who passed away itself. Therefore, they held that they share it equally. And that Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai responded to them and said that no. Because a son's daughter, we find, as the coming Mishnah will explain from the daughters of Tzlafchad, that they equally share in their grandfather's inheritance. When their father passed away, they share with their uncles in the grandfather's inheritance, taking the place of their father. So you see that the son's daughter is like as if they're like the son themselves, like their father, who is the son of the one who passed away, and therefore just like a son comes before a daughter, so too the son's daughter comes before the daughter itself. Now, so although that's the halacha, the Gemara, however, brings a historical exemption from this halacha. The pasuk says in Sefer Shoftim, "Vayimru," they said, "Yerushas paleta leBenyamin. Let there be a remnant of inheritance for the tribe of Benyamin. V'leimacha shevet miyisal, that it should not be obliterated, a tribe of the Jewish people." What's this talking about? Amr Yitzchok debei Rebami. Yitzchok said in Yeshiva of Rebami, "Melamet shehisnu al shevet Benyamin." This teaches that the sages made a stipulation regarding the tribe of Benyamin, "Shaloi tirish bas haben imaachen," that this should be a one-time historical exception, that the daughter of the son should not split the inheritance with their brothers, meaning the daughters of the one who of the one who passed away should not share with the brothers of the child, meaning rather the brothers, their uncles, are the only ones that inherit the properties of the father. Even the portion that would have been fit to split with their brother who passed away, meaning, and not like we said from the top of the summit from the previous daf, as we'll see in the coming Mishnah, like the B'nai Slavchad, that they went and shared in their grandfather's estate with their uncles, this was a one-time exemption that they said that no, that the daughter of the son will not share with the brothers of this son, meaning of their father, because this pasuk takes place in what was known as the story of Pelegish Begiva, which was an infamous incident that happened, and the rest of the tribes fought war against the tribe of Binyamin, and much of tribe of Binyamin were killed, men, women, as the pasuk in Shoftim says, "Manasalim l'nesam." What are we going to do for the remnant? That is, the whole land of Binyamin was like 600 men. So therefore, it was at that time that what would happen is that much of the inheritance of the tribe of Binyamin would fall to a woman who's coming to inherit. Now, because there's very few people left, so many men, many people died, and this person, let's say, is a woman that's left over, she's going to get a large chunk of Shevet Binyamin because it's being divided amongst all these people because everyone else is dead. Now, if this woman were to go ahead and marry a man who's from a different tribe, it would come out, it would create a huge chunk, a deficit of the inheritance of the tribe of Binyamin. So therefore, they instituted at that point in time that if there are sons to inherit a father, that only the sons will inherit, and so not to uproot from the children of the one who passed away, they stipulated that the daughters of the son should not share with the inheritance with their uncles. Now, the reason why the sages were allowed to do this, based on the monetary principle of Hefke, Bezen Hefke, that the sages could come and take away biblically rightful money to somebody because of the purposes that they see fit. Now, however, if there were no sons left for the person who died and their inheritance of tribe of Binyamin is here, only daughters, then yes, then the daughters of the daughters would also inherit with them, because the main concept was that the one who passed away doesn't want that his inheritance should be uprooted totally from his children and then go to other males in the tribe. Or let's say they were daughters and there was a son who passed away that had a daughter, then the daughter of the son would inherit all the properties, because we would assume that even though its daughter's getting it, that it would be careful in those situations not to marry a man from a different tribe, because then again, we're going to take huge chunks of the tribe of Binyamin's inheritance and be going to a different tribe. So this is how the pasuk is understood, that v'yemru, that they said to give the Yerusha as a platis for Binyamin, for a remnant for the tribe of Binyamin. In other words, for the ones that are the sons, which are called based on the tribe of Binyamin, and not to give it to the Bas HaBen, to the daughter of the son, who again could possibly marry a man from a different tribe, which would be ripping out large chunks of the tribe of Binyamin's inheritance and going to a different tribe. So again, although that generally the halacha is that they are in that time, that was the exception. A related halacha, Amrim Yechid Meshim Rebshim Ben Yechai, he says, Kol she'ena maniach ben liyarsha, if someone does not leave over a son to inherit him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu moli alav evra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is filled with anger on that person. In other words, he hates that person. How do we know this? Ksiv Achad says over here in the Pasuk in Midbar, when it says uven ein lo, if someone does not have a son, so it says v'havartim es nachlasa, then you go and you pass over his inheritance to his daughter. So it used the word v'havartim. Now, Ksiv Hasan, there's a Pasuk over there in Tzfani that says yom evra hayemahu, it's a day of anger that day. You see that the word evra is a term of anger. So you see that a Kaddish Baruch Hu hates a person that does not leave over a son to inherit him, to continue that lineage of the inheritance. Similar type of a drasha, the Gemara brings a pasuk into Hillam, Asha ein chalifa slamai, that if there is no exchange, meaning to take the place for him, v'lo yoru elekim, and they did not fear God. What does this mean? So we have Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Shubman Levi, Chad Omer, Kol she'enem neich ben. One says, like the previous drasha, it refers to someone that does not have an exchange for him. In other words, doesn't have anyone taking his place because he does not leave over a son. That's someone that does not fear God. It's the same idea. Hashem despises people like that. V'chad amar kol she'enem neich tamen. And the other one says it means if he didn't leave over a student like him. He didn't teach Torah properly enough to people. That's a sign that this person is not someone that feared God. So says the Gemara, it says, Taim Rabbi Yechon and Amr Tam, we could prove that Rabbi Yechon was the one who said that the problem with this person is if he did not leave over such a student. How can we prove this? Because the Amr Rabbi Yechon used to say, Den garmei da asira bir. This is the bone, this is the tooth of my last son, of my 10 sons who passed away. And that's how he used to console people that were bitter in mourning, to say that, look, all my 10 sons all passed away, and this is the tooth of my last son. The reason why he would carry around the tooth is because that does not transmit tuma, as the Mishnah says in Sechtz Olis in the third parak, that everything from a dead person transmits tuma, except for the teeth, the hair, and the fingernails, although when it's attached, it also transmits tuma. Now, since Rabbi Yechonon did not leave over any sons, and he was showing, like, look, this is my 10th last son, these are his teeth after he passed away, if it would be true that he held that whoever does not leave over his son that takes his place is called someone that does not fear God, he would not then tell the people that this is my last son who passed away. It means I have no more sons, because as the Gemara says in Brachas L'Amidal Amabez, it's chutzpahdik. It's something that's audacious, someone that reveals his sins to the people. Like the pasuk says, Ashrei nesu pesha kesuchatot. Better not to reveal your sins, that makes a chil Hashem to the people. Why would he be telling people that he's not a God-fearing person if he didn't leave over any sons? Says the Gemara, it's time to Rabbi Yechon and Tam, and say, right, you could prove that Rabbi Yechon did not hold that that's a lack in the person if he did not leave over a son to take his place. But it is a lack if he did not leave over a student, because you could teach Torah, and if you didn't, that's the person that's considered B'layar Elikim. Now, on that, asked the Gemara, so there were these two different opinions, and we didn't say who was who. We wanted to prove Rabbi Yechon is the one who said, the problem is we don't leave over such a student. So says the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yechon or Metalmud. So the fact Rabbi Yechon says the problem is when you don't leave over such a student to take your place, Rabbi Shubin Levi Omer Ben, must be his disputant. Rabbi Shubin Levi was the one who said the problem is when you don't leave over such a son. On that, asked the Gemara, but Rabbi Shubin Levi loy ozle beitamir. Rabbi Shubin Levi did not go to a house of mourning to console them, and the reason is because he didn't want to take away time from his learning. Ella, there was one exception, Lebe man de shocha b'loy bani. The only place he would go to console would be to a place of a person who passed away without leaving any sons. So like it says, a pasuk in Yirmiyah, he darshan, it says, b'chu b'chay la'hoylech, go ahead and cry for the one who goes, which Amar Yehuda Merav explains, la'hoylech b'loy ben zachar, meaning he's going without anything, without leaving over any male sons. So that's the one place that he would go and console. But if you're saying Rabbi Shimon Levi holds that someone who dies without any sons is considered a wicked person, someone that does not fear God, so if he's not, doesn't want to waste time from learning, definitely don't go to someone that is loyal really Kim. So how do we understand Rabbi Shimon Levi? So Ella rather says the Gemara, you're right, Rabbi Shimon Levi who the Amitaman must be, he held that it's not a flaw if someone does not leave over children. To the contrary, someone that does not is someone that really needs more consolation. Rather, the problem he holds is when someone does not leave over a student like him. So then the Gemara goes back. So since he's the one that says the problem is if you don't leave over a student, so Rabbi Yechon then obviously held the problem of a person who's not considered God-fearing is if he doesn't leave over a son to take his place. So Rabbi Yechon, we have a contradiction of Rabbi Yechon's own statements, because what's with the other statement he used to tell people, that this is my last son who passed away? He's telling people something embarrassing, sinful about himself, which is inappropriate, by saying he didn't leave over any sons, which his other drush is saying that means that you're not a Yireli Kim. That says, "Gemara, like Kasha, it's not a difficulty." You're right; they were both said by Rabbi Yechonon. But ha, the day, the statement he would tell people that this is my tenth and last son who passed away when I was still alive, that is his own statement. Because actually, Rabbi Yechonon himself held, like Rabbi Shimon Levi, that it's only problematic if you don't leave over a student. If you don't leave over a son, that is not indicative of a problem of the person. The rabbi, this that he had said, that it's a problem if you don't leave over a son, was the teaching of his teacher, but he himself didn't hold like that. He held like Rabbi Shimon Levi, and therefore he would tell people consolation where it's okay, look what I've had, sorrows in my life, and it doesn't mean anything sinful if a person passes away without leaving over any male sons. Simon, a mnemonic to recall the next three teachings from Pinchas ben Chama, is Hadad, which is the name of an individual, Ani, a pauper, v'chacham, and a wise man. So, Darish Repichas ben Chama says, Ma'idach Siv, what does it mean in the Pasuk Melachim Aleph, v'hadad shama b'mitzrayim, which this continues on the theme about passing away and leaving over a child that takes your place, v'hadad shama b'mitzrayim, and hadad heard in Egypt, ki shachav David ha'mavoysev, that David ha'melech had been laid to rest with his fathers, v'chimeis Yayev saratzav, and that Yayev, the head of the general of the army, had passed away. So the question that was asked was, why by David when he passed away used the term of laying down? Whereas in regards to Yayev, it says about dying. Says Reb Pinchas ben Chama, David shenich ben nemer by shchiva. David left over a son. It says regarding him that he was laid down to rest. Yayev shloy nich ben nemer by misa. Yayev who did not leave over a son. It says that he died. Where there's no more remnant, you're dead. You don't leave over any sons. Whereas if you leave over, it's you being laid down to rest, but you're still considered alive through your children. Now that has the Gemara of Yoiv Loinich Ben. Is that really true that Yoiv did not leave over a son? But Vaksiv, the Pasuk says, in Ezra, Mimnei Yoiv, from the sons of Yoiv, Oivadya Ben Yechiel. You see, he did leave over a son. Ella rather explains the Gemara, David Shenich Ben Kemaisai Nemer Beishchiva. David left over a son like himself, as great as himself. There it says that he was laid to rest, but he was still very much alive in his child. Yoiv Shloinich ben Kemaisai Nemer Bemisai didn't leave over a son as great as himself. So regarding to that, on some level, he's dead. That's why it says a term of Misa. Another drasha of Darish from Pinchas ben Chama, and because since we had mentioned that drasha, we mentioned other drashas from Pinchas ben Chama. Kasha Anias Petech Beisa Shel Adam. Very harsh poverty in a person's house. Yisim Mechamisha Makas, more severe than 50 lashes and then 50 plagues that comes upon the person, which is teaching us that a person has to beseech mercy in regards to poverty. How do we know this idea? Shnim, like it says the Pasuk in Eve. It says, Chanuni, Chanuni, grace me, Atem Reyai, you my friends. This is Eve talking to his friends. Kiyada laha nogabi, because the hand of God has afflicted me. Now, that's a reference to Nun Makis, the 50 punishments, because in Egypt it says that it's Etzbe Lekimhu. Regarding the 10 Makis, it says it's the finger of God, which they had 10 plagues. Comes out that the hand of God, which is 5 fingers, is going to be 50 Makis. So Eve was saying, I have 50 Makis. And still, V'ka'amri Lichavre, there's a pasuk later on in Eve that his friends told him, he summer, be careful. Al Tefen El Avel. Don't turn towards iniquity. In other words, don't contemplate and think bad poorly regarding the attribute of justice that's against you, because there are people that are in more pain than you. Because you should be grateful for the 50 plagues that you have, because as the Pasuk says, because this you could choose better than poverty. In other words, at least you have gold and silver and land, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu still has mercy on you more than some other people who they're afflicted with poverty and they have it much worse than you. That's the concept that we see, that poverty is worse than 50 makas. The third drasha, Darsha Pinchas Bar Chama, he says, Kol sheyesh lechayla b'teich beisa, anyone who has an ill person in his house, yelech itzel chacham v'yivakash lav rachamim, should go to a wise person and beseech mercy from him. Shnemak, it says, the Pasuk in Mishlei, it says, Chamas melech, the fury of the king, which is when a person is going through affliction, that he's getting the fury from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the king, malachei mavis, eight messengers of death, meaning that's referring to a sick person who's leaning towards death. That's what the pasuk says, v'ish chacham yichfirena, that a wise man could wipe that away. That's the idea about going to a wise person who could go ahead and help out the person that's leaning towards death. Now the Gemara concludes the halacha of our previous Mishnah by quoting the last segment of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Zahaklal, this is the general rule of the order of the procession of nachalis, of inheritance, is that kol ha-koydim anachla, said the Mishnah, whoever is earlier in the order of inheritance, if they pass away, yitzi yirecha koydim, those who are his descendants come before any of the other. So let's say a son comes before a daughter. If the son leaves over any grandchild, they come before the daughter, and so on. But concludes the Mishnah, va'av koydim l'chol yitzi yirecha. However, the father comes before any descendant of his. So, although the son comes first and then the daughter, but if there's no one that, then let's say the brothers of the dead person who are descendants from the father of the one who died, he comes before all the rest. So it's son, daughter, then father of the one who passed away. Now, related to this halacha, the Mishnah, the Gemara asked the following question. Bayi Rama Bar Chama says, Avi Ha'av, if you have the grandfather of the one who passed away, Va'achi Ha'av, and you have the uncle of the one who passed away, meaning the father's brother, Kugoin, for example, the historical impression of this would be Avram v'Yishmol b'nichsi Esav. You have Avram, who's the grandfather of Esav. You have Yishmol, who's the uncle of Esav, which Rashbam points out the reason why we picked the case of dying was specifically by Esav, who's a wicked person, and not by Yaakov, especially since the Gemara says elsewhere that Yaakov v'niloi meis. So Esav and Kedim. So the question was, which one comes first? Now, the crux of the question is because both of them are coming to inherit the dead person from the strength, from the power of the father of the dead person. That's the question. Because the father of Esav was Yitzchak. Now, Yitzchak's brother was Yishmael. His father was Avram. So the question is, which one comes first? So that question of Rambam Chama Amar Rav, he says, Tashema, what do you mean? I'll tell you explicitly from the halacha of our Mishnah, which we just quoted. The Mishnah said, Ha'av koydim l'chol yitzi yirecha. The father comes before all those who are his descendants. So it comes out that Avram Avinu inherits his son Yitzchak before Yitzchak's brother, who is Avram's son, Yishmael. Because since they're both coming to inherit the Esav from the father Yitzchak, so it's as if Yitzchak inherited Esav. Now then the question is, Yitzchak's not alive, who does it go to? So it goes back to Avram, and he inherits his son Yitzchak, as we said in the beginning of the parak, because the father comes before the brothers. Just like we darshan that when Uben Einloi, you say, what do you mean, Ein love see if the son has any descendant? Here also by older relatives, so too by the father of the one who died, we would say, im ein le'av, if there's no father, so then you give his inheritance to the brothers, but wait, ayin le'av, check by the father. Because if Yitzchak has any Yairish that's fit to inherit him, he takes the place. And who's fit to inherit Yitzchak? His father, Avram, who again, as we said, that the father of the one who's dead, we're talking about Yitzchak, who he's the inheritor of Esav, comes before his own son, Avram's own son, which is Yishmael, and that's the halacha. Now, however, explains the Gemara of Rabbi Bar Chama, who had asked the question as we continue to Midbeis, Agav Churfe, because of his sharpness, where he was busy really developing a different question, which is actually better than this question, Lo Ayin Ba, he didn't really look into the question. He really didn't mean to ask this question, because yeah, that's a pretty obvious answer as we brought from the Mishnah. Rather, explains the Gemara, Boi Rabbi Bar Chama, what his question really was the following question. If you have Avi Ha'av, the grandfather of the one who died, the achiv, and the brother of the one who passed away, which would be the grandfather with the brother. Kugain, for example, in the historical image would be Avraham v'Yaakov b'nechzei Esav, not Avram and Yishmael. That's obviously would go to Avram. But rather we have Avram Avinu, or his grandson Yaakov, who is the brother of Esav, when Esav passes away. And that is the question, Ezim and Kaidim, which one comes first? What's the question? So the question is, do we say that since Yitzchak comes before Yaakov to inherit Esav, because as we said, the father always comes before the brother, so it's as if that Yitzchak already inherited Esav. Now, since Yaakov would come and inherit his father Yitzchak, but it wouldn't go to Avram, his father, to inherit him, because as we said, that when someone dies, the son is always before the father of the one who passed away. So therefore you would say that it goes to Yaakov, not to Avram. Or maybe do you say the Talmudic dictum of B'nei Ban Marim Kebanim, grandchildren are like sons. So it would come out as if that Esav is a son of Avram. And therefore we would say that Avram comes before Yaakov in the estate of Esav, because as we said, because a father always comes before brothers. So do we say a grandfather is like a father, and therefore Avram comes before Yaakov? Or do we say that no? The Avram Avinu is the grandfather, and he would only be the father of Yitzchak. And when Yitzchak passes away, meaning because Esav dead and Yitzchak should get it, now Yitzchak's not alive, who gets it? The son of Yitzchak gets it and not the father of Yitzchak. That's the question. So on this question, Amar Rabbi says, Toshima, we can prove this from the halacha of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Ha'av koidim l'chol yoytzi yereichai. The father comes before all his descendants. Now Yaakov is the descendant of Avram. And therefore, Avram comes before Yaakov to inherit the estate of Esav. That's what Rava answers for Rambam Chama's question. However, explains the Gemara of Rama Bachama, he would tell you, the reason why I was in doubt and I didn't resolve the way Rava seems to clearly indicate from my Mishnah that a descendant is after the father, and that means, say, Avram is before all his descendants. You're right, a child of Esav would get it first, but if he has no child, it's the one who's his father, Yitzchak's not alive. So again, so then Avram, who Yaakov is his descendant, Avram comes before it. Rambam Chama says, no, because you could say that to learn in the words of the Mishnah, when it says the father is before all Yoytzi Yireichai, it's saying Yoytzi Yireichai, meaning it sounds like that those who come out of the thigh, Shaloi, of his, meaning that are his own children from his wife. But that would not include that a father is before the descendants of his son. So although he's before his own descendants, meaning his children, but he's not before his grandchildren. Therefore, that's why he said it wasn't so obvious to me to say that Avram gets it before Yaakov, and maybe Yaakov gets it before Avram. And actually, the Gemara says, Hachinami Mistar, but it actually is logical to say, not like Rava, but rather that Yaakov actually does get it before Avram in the estate of Esav. Because, Diktani, we learned in our Mishnah these words, Zachal, this is the rule. Whoever is first in the order of inheritance, but he's not around anymore. For example, let's say Yitzchak, who he's before Avram to inherit the estate of his son Esav, had he been alive. Now, but now that Yitzchak's not around, said the Mishnah, so his own descendants, let's say Yitzchak, come before anyone else, which is Yaakov, who inherits the merits of his father Yitzchak, because that's the law. Why? Because Ve'ilu Isli Yitzchak, if Yitzchak would have been around, let's say if Yitzchak would have died after Esav, so the halacha would be Yitzchak Kaidim, Yitzchak would be first, and then, so then if in that case, so Yaakov, his son, would have inherited Yitzchak and not Avram, Yitzchak's father, because as we said in the beginning of the parak, sons come before fathers, meaning before their own grandfather, to inherit the one who passed away. So therefore, says the Gemara, the same thing applies over here. Hashtanami, the lesser Yitzchak, even in this case, when Yitzchak's not around, meaning because Yitzchak died before Esav, Yaakov, Kaidim, Yaakov comes before, Yaakov inherits the merit and not Avram. Shmami, no, from there we can infer, and that's the halacha, that the son of Yitzchak, who is Yaakov, although Yitzchak's not alive anymore, but the whole inheritance is going through him, his son Yaakov inherits it before Yitzchak's own father, which is Avram, and therefore the halacha actually is to the other side of Rambam Chama's question, that Yaakov gets it, the son of the one, the brother of the one who passed away, gets it before the grandfather of the one who passed away, which is Yaakov, not Avram. Rashbam concludes from this entire parak that this is the order of inheritance. It goes as follows. He picks the paradigm of Reuben, the one, the first of the 12 tribes, if he passes away. So Chanoich, Falu, Chetzron, and Carmi, his sons, inherit him. Now, if one of the sons dies before Reuben dies, and that son, who's not around anymore, left over his own son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter until 100 generations down, that grandchild inherits, taking the place of their father, who is the son of Reuben, in the estate of Reuben. Now, let's say Reuben does not have any sons, and he doesn't have any grandsons, and not even any granddaughters from the sons. So there's no son in type of inheritance, then the daughters of Reuben inherit Reuben, but it's only if the sons don't have anyone to inherit. Now, if Reuben doesn't have any daughters, and neither grandsons, meaning his daughter doesn't have any sons, or his daughters don't even have any daughters going till the end of the generations downward, then Yaakov, Reuben's father, inherits his son Reuben. Now, if Yaakov is not alive, then you give Reuben's inheritance to his brothers, the sons of his father, which are Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, all the tribes, Joseph, and Benjamin. Now, if they're not alive, so then you give the inheritance of Reuben to the sons of Shimon and Levi. Now, if Shimon and Levi, his brothers, don't have their own sons or grandsons, so then you give it to their daughters or to their daughters' sons or to their daughters' daughters. And that's because, as we mentioned in the past, that wherever there's a male and that's an inheritor, they come before the females, as the Gemara said on Daf Kofit Gimel Amud Beis, where we compare the first inheritance, which is when the person dies and he has sons and daughters, that sons come before daughters. So to all the levels and phases, it's going to be that the sons, the males, come before the females. Now, if there are no brothers for Reuven, and neither are there any grandchildren to his brothers, because either that the brothers died without any children, or he never had any brothers, then you give his inheritance to the daughters of Yaakov, which are his sisters from his father, meaning his paternal sisters, or to her sons, or to her son's sons, or to her daughter's daughters, going all the way downward till you find someone. Now, if Reuven doesn't have any sisters, and neither does he have any sons from his sisters from his father, so then you give his inheritance to his father's father, which is Yitzchak, because as we said, his father Yaakov's not around anymore because he comes before all his siblings. Now, if Yitzchak's not alive, so then you give his inheritance of Reuven to Esav, which is his father's brother, meaning Yaakov's brother, which is Esav, which is Yitzchak's son. Yitzchak would come before, the grandfather would come before the uncle, as we mentioned in the past. Now, if Esav is not alive, then you give the inheritance of Reuven to Esav's son, Eliphaz, or to his sons, or to his son's sons. Now, if there's no sons for Esav, then you give Reuven's inheritance to the daughters of Esav, or to their sons, or to their daughters, or to their daughters' children. Now, if there's no brothers to the father of Reuven, let's say Yaakov did not have a brother Esav, so then you give Reuven's inheritance to the daughters of Yitzchak, which that is his father's sisters, or to their sons, or to their sons' sons, or to their daughters, or to their daughters' sons. Now, if the father of Reuben doesn't have neither brothers, so let's say Yaakov didn't have any brothers, or his brothers had no kids, or didn't have any sisters, and his sisters have no kids, so then you give Reuben's inheritance to Avram, which is his great-grandfather. His father is Yaakov, his father was Yitzchak, and his father was Avram. Now, if Avram is not alive, then you always go up one more generation to the father of that person that we're talking about, who is the central figure, and then if you go up to his father. If that father's not there, then you go to that person's brother, which then you would give it to Yishmael, who is his grandfather's brother, which is the nephew of his, which is the son of his great grandfather. Or you give it to the sons of Yishmael, or you give it to the grandsons, or to the daughters, or to the grandchildren, meaning the daughters of that, to the sons of that daughter. Now, if Yishmael doesn't have neither sons that are around, and moreover, he doesn't have any sisters or children to those sisters, then you'd go one generation further up, you give the inheritance of Reuben to his great-great-grandfather, which is Terach, Avram's father. Now, if Terach's not alive, then you would give it to Nachar and to Haran, who are his sons, who are the brothers of Avram, or to their sons, or to their sisters, or to those that come out, and so on, and you keep on going for this thing all the way back and back up until Adam Harishon. And that's the trajectory in the order of the inheritance. Now, moreover, concludes the Rashbam, what we also learn is that the husband inherits his wife, and if the husband's not alive, then her son inherits her. If there's no son, then her daughter inherits her, and it goes through that whole entire order, going back upwards, up until you go up to Adam HaRishon. Now the Gemara continues with the next mission on this series regarding the title of this parak of Halacha of Neichlin, of inheritance. B'nai Slavchad, who these famous daughters that were mentioned in the Torah, Natlu Gimel Chalaka Menachla, they took three portions of the inheritance of the portion of Eretz Yisrael. Now Rashbam explains that since we mentioned previous Daf Kof Tesvav Men Aleph, and that all the descendants of a son, which in the previous Mishnah, come before, I mean, even if it's a granddaughter, comes before a daughter, where from there we learn out that a son's daughter inherits and takes over the place of the son. That's why our Mishnah then mentioned the next Mishnah over here, because the daughters of Tzlavcha, they took a portion of their father in the apportioning of his father, Hefer. So the daughters took a place of their father, Tzlavcha, as if they were Tzlavcha themselves, and they split with the brothers. That's why it's mentioning that same concept over here, where the son's daughter is like as if the son is around himself, which splits with all the brothers, and actually even before if there's any of, even if they had an aunt, they take before that aunt. They're like the son themselves. That's why I mentioned that's one of the three things they took over here. So they took three portions. First of all, they took Chelik Avin. They took their portion of their father Tzlafchad, Shahayi im Yoytzi Mitzrayim. He was from those who had left Egypt when Moshe Rabbeinu took the Yidden out of Mitzrayim, where what the halacha is, actually according to the Tanna Mishnah, the son of the one who had left Egypt, when the Jews finally went 40 years later into Eretz Yisrael, he actually would not take his own portion of Eretz Yisrael because he's from those that first came and conquered Eretz Yisrael. Because if he wasn't from those who left Egypt, as the Gemara says in the coming Daf, the Tanna of Mishnah holds that the Eretz Yisrael was split not for those who came to Eretz Yisrael, but for those who left Mitzrayim. And the Gemara there learns that from Sukkah. Now, although there were those who left Egypt that didn't enter Eretz Yisrael, rather because actually they were the generation that died in the desert and they didn't take a portion of Eretz Yisrael, but for that it helped where, for example, let's say you had Reuben and Shimon that left Mitzrayim. And they gave birth in the desert to sons who ended up going into Eretz Yisrael. Now, Reuben had 10 sons and Shimon had one son. So the halacha is going to be that one son of Shimon is going to take a portion from his father, which will correlate to the 10 children of Reuben. Because each one, Reuben and Shimon, had a portion of Eretz Yisrael, and each one, their sons, only split up the portion of what their father got. So this one son of this one father will get the equal of what all those 10 sons will be getting from their one father. Now, since Slavchud was from those who had left Egypt, and he died in the Midbar, so therefore his daughters went and took his portion. Now, all these three portions that our Mishnah mentioned, the Gemara learns out from Pesukim. Now, therefore, we have to explain that the halacha of these daughters of Tzlafchad was specifically that Tzlafchad, since he must have been at least 20 years old when he left Mitzrayim, because only if you were 20 did you have a portion of Eretz Yisrael. So do you have to say that his father Hefer was also from those who left Egypt, and he was also over 20? More, we have to say that Tzlafchad was the Bechor, the firstborn. And all these things you could learn out from the Pasuk, from Nisan, Totnahem, etc., which the Gemara learns out from, and Daf Kufrit Chesma Beis, which explains all these three elements. And therefore, these daughters of Tzlafchad had three different portions. Again, one is that they split up their father's portion, who he had a right because he left Egypt. Then, moreover, V'chelkoyim Achiv Benichzei Chefer, then there was also their father's portion, which was to split up the portion of their father Chefer, because their grandfather, which was their father's father, Chefer, left Mitzrayim. And his sons took their portion in their father's estate, who was from those who left Egypt. Now, besides their own portions, because they were also from those who left Mitzrayim. Now, that's what the second portion that the daughters of Tzlafchad got, which was their father's share in their grandfather's estate of Hefer, of Eretz Yisrael, meaning at the time when the brothers of Tzlafchad came to split their father's estate, the son... which is Slavchad, his daughters went and took the place of the son, meaning of their father, to inherit with their brothers, as we learned previously in the Kuftes Vav Med Aleph, the Kolakoy de Menachla, whoever's earlier in the estate, which is the son, which is Slavchad. So although he's not around, so Yitzi Rechikainen, so his descendants, which are his daughters, take his place. And they also then shared not only their fathers, but they also shared now a share of their grandfathers, which they split with their uncles. Now, the third one was v'shahaya, that Tzlafchad was also b'chayr, was a firstborn son, noitel shnei chalokim, so he took a double portion with his brothers in the estate of Hefer, and it was regarding that extra portion, that then his daughters split that also. Now, although a b'chayr, firstborn, does not take what's called b'ra'u kibemuchzik, does not take something that's fit for him to inherit, but has not yet been taken possession of by his father. So when his father dies, he does not get that double portion. So here also, although his father Hefer should have gotten, but his father never got it because his father never made it to Eretz Yisrael. And that's the concept that we mentioned before. The Eretz Yisrael actually was already considered as if it was taken possession by those who left Egypt, as the Gemara says later on, the Kofi Testament Aleph. It was as if Hefer, his father, had taken possession of Eretz Yisrael already. Now, moreover, even though Tzlafchad died before his own father, Hefer, it comes out that Tzlafchad will still inherit a double portion, whatever Hefer had, because he was Reish HaSoina, he was the first of his sons. Now, although that when Hefer died, Tzlafchad wasn't around, even so, Tzlafchad's own daughters will inherit his portion of the Bechor of what Tzlafchad had in the estate of his father, Hefer, because that's the concept that we mentioned before, that just like his daughters inherit the regular portion that he gets in his father's estate of Hefer, Which, as we said, that was the second thing they got, that they split their father's portion that was with their brothers. The same thing applies to the double portion that his father was supposed to get, which is that of Bechor, which, as this is learned in a Braisa and Tosefta Masechtas Bechoros, that the son takes the place of the father both for the regular portion and for the double portion of being a Bechor. So the same thing applied to the daughters of Tzlofchad in the estate of Chefer, that although their father Tzlofchad died while their grandfather Chefer was still alive, still they inherited both the portion of the regular portion and the double portion of the Bechor of their father in the estate of Chefer. And so too, we learned this explicitly in the Gemara in Yerushalmi that says over there, Rosh Lakish says the name of Abba Kohen Bardlo. It says the term Mishpat regarding the double portion of a Bechor. It says Mishpat regarding the regular portion of a son. Just like by a regular portion, as we said previously, that we see the son as if the father is still alive, which is that the child takes that place. So to regarding the double portion, you see the son as if the father is still alive to take the double portion of the father. Now from this that the Gemara tells us that from Vavarta tells us about the double portion, that's how we know that Tzlofchad was a Bechor. Now, although in Divrei Hayamim, as Rashbam, it tells us that V'shem HaSheni Tzlofchad, which sounds like that he was not the firstborn but the secondborn, says Rashbam, that's not referring to this being the second brother, because actually there it's not talking about brothers at all. Rather, there it's referring to Gilad, who is the father of Chefer, and Machir, who is the father of Gilad, which was talking about before. So says Rashbam, you could say that it's going back on Gilad. And what does it mean when it says Tzlofchad was Sheni, was the second, he was second to Gilad? In other words, he was the son of Gilad, as it says, Ben Chefer Ben Gilad. So concludes Rashbam, and explained the halacha of a Mishnah, these are the three portions that the Bnei Tzlofchad got. They got the two portions from what their father was getting from his father, which is both the regular portion that they split, where older brothers split, and then the double portion. And then you had the portion of Tzlofchad himself, because he was from those who left Egypt. Now, as Rashbam, why didn't actually say a fourth portion that they got for the daughters of Tzlofchad? Because as the Pasuk says in Yeshua Yud Zayin, that it was actually a brother of their father who died beforehand, where then the other brothers split his property, as the Gemara says in Daf Kafir Tchesim Abayz, says Rashbam, the reason is because it wouldn't have taught us anything, because we already know that the daughter of the son, meaning Tzlofchad, takes the place of the son to take and split with all the brothers of the properties of their father Chefer. So the same thing would have applied, that the daughters would take the place of the son, meaning their father, to split with their brothers in the state of their brother. Now, if it would be coming to tell us that those who left Egypt split and it was a portion to them, that would meaning, so therefore that would tell us regarding the uncle who had died that he had a portion that then his brother split, that we already know from the fact that they take the portion of the father Tzlofchad because he was from those who left Egypt. But regards to the other three portions that our Mishnah does mention, each one is telling us a special chiddush in halacha. It's telling us three things. One is telling us that those who left Egypt, the land of Israel was apportioned according to them, not according to those who entered. Also, it teaches us that the daughter of the son is like the son to inherit with all their uncles, meaning with the brothers. And also teaches us that Eretz Yisrael was already considered as if it was already taken possession by those who left Egypt, even though they never even entered Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, that's why their father, Tzlofchad, took not only a regular portion, but even a double portion, although a Bechor doesn't take what's fit for someone to come, only what they took possession. It was like Chefer already had possession of Eretz Yisrael, even though he never got there. And therefore, his son, Tzlofchad, who although he's dead, but his daughters would take his place, went and took not only a regular portion, but even a double portion.